Damn, son, where'd you find this?
This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
Oh, happy hot topic.
Hoppy, this is Hoppy Hour.
Ah, hello. How are you? That's great to hear. I'm so happy for you. This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, hanging out with you for the next hour. You can always leave me a voicemail. 856-49-HOPPY. That's 856-494-6773. You can tweet at me at Ryan Hoppy Radio, and you can always email me, ryanhoppyradio@gmail.com. This show is heard on the Quad Pod Network at QOD.com/Ryan Hoppy. We're also heard every Thursday at 5 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. Central on Z Radio Live at ZRadioLive.com. And we are, I know I just keep going on and on. We are on the No Filter Network at NoFilter.net. Yeah. This podcast is for the hardworking average Joe and Jane that grind in life. I don't care if you're in a Midwest city and you work at a factory. I don't care if you're a single mom. I don't care if you live in Florida and you're a landscaper. I want my show to represent the hardworking average Joe and Janes that work hard. That's the plan. That's what I aspire. That's what I aspire for. Every time I record this show, and we have so much to get into, it's utterly ridiculous. Okay, first of all, we got hit with a copyright slap about a week ago, so I can't play the NBA playoff music, which is driving me nuts. But oh boy, the NBA playoffs has been quite the thing. Oh, it's been hilarious. It's been comical. And I got to begin here in this NBA analysis. Now, this isn't going to be analysis. All right, those guys who claim to be prospects on Twitter and they get everything wrong and they keep on babbling. This isn't going to be, analysis from somebody who's a homer. I say it like it is and I call it like it is. And let me tell you, New York might be a city, because it is. I've never seen a city with more narcissism. I've never seen a city more out of touch. I've never seen a city that thinks so highly of themselves for no reason. Oh, the New York Knicks came a fourth seed this year with Coach Tom Thibodeau, who is the most mediocre coach ever. Like, if you want a coach to improve your franchise but not really get you over the hump, then go with Tom Thibodeau. He makes everybody work really hard in the regular season, and then they're dead in the playoffs. That's exactly what happened with the early 2010s with the Chicago Bulls and then the Minnesota Timberwolves and then with the Knicks this year. And I thought the New York Knicks were the worst fan base this whole postseason, but I think their display at Madison Square Garden quite possibly could have been the worst fandom I've ever seen. Up there with the Philadelphia Eagles. Let me explain why. New York Knicks fans live in the past. They think about, oh, Walt Frazier in the 1970s. And then Walt Frazier is about 70 years old, so you're living in the past. And you got the Gen Xers that are like, oh, yeah, the days of John Starks and the days of Patrick Ewing. 30 years ago, you talking about 1990s is like if you were in the 1990s and a baby boomer was talking about the 1960s. The amount of time between those two decades, 30 years now, 2020 minus 1990 equals 30. You get the point. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. All these fans are chanting at Trae Young, F you, Trae. Even though if Trae Young were playing in the Big Apple, all the fans would be bowing down to him, calling him the next Messiah. But oh, he's on another team. We're going to have chants in Madison Square Garden. Like, F you, F you. And then they're passing out little cue cards of what to chant, like a bunch of high schoolers. Actually, comparing them to a high school fan base is insulting a high school, because they are passing out cards at Madison Square Garden that said, Trey is balding. Trey just crushed you. It's utterly ridiculous. And then we have to bow down to them. We go, is it good for basketball that the New York Knicks are back? No. Sure. But that doesn't mean you're relevant. All the New York Knicks fans this year were running in their mouth. Oh, we're back. Oh, do you have Patrick Ewing, one of the all-time greats ever? You know how hard it is to win a championship? Patrick Ewing was marvelous. Oh, do you have Walt Frazier and his one championship? All the New York Knicks fans were like, oh, this is our year. This is our year. And they had this narcissism. They had this attitude. Like, because we are back, this means the whole world is bowing down to us. Oh, you read Twitter? You listen to New York sports radio? You would think the whole globe is rooting for the New York Knicks. You would think the whole globe is going, oh my God, the fact that the New York Knicks are in the playoffs, my life is forever changed. I'm no longer in debt. I no longer have to worry about job security because the damn New York Knicks have been good for the first time in a decade. Ridiculous. Nobody cares. Unless you live on the East Coast, nobody cared about the New York Knicks being in the playoffs. And all the fans think, oh, we're changing the world. That team that made the playoffs with the New York Knicks, if the name on it was Charlotte Hornets, nobody would care about that team. But, oh, we got to really hope that the New York Knicks are good. Oh, we need them. We're not going to survive without them being good. No one cares. God, they're the worst. Oh, we're back, baby. Yeah, New York. You think anybody in Boston cares? Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Charlotte, Birmingham, Alabama, Miami, Tampa, Chicago, Milwaukee, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Is the whole world going, oh, thank God the New York Knicks are back? Or you guys in your own little delusional bubble. If there was a way to describe the New York Knicks fan base, it would be Michael Rapaport. And that's all I got to say. Call the show. 856-49-HOPPY. 856-494-6773. Also, Boston, Philadelphia, and New York, the three dumbest fan bases in sports. All the fans that literally are blue collar and they work hard, or they're rich and pretentious, and this is their escape to get into sports. Oh boy, I'd be embarrassed. First of all, you had the Philadelphia 76ers fans dumping popcorn on Russell Westbrook. Like, what are we doing here? We're treating these human beings like they're circus animals. Like, what mindset? How much of a loser are you if you're dumping food on an NBA player? You do realize that even if a player like Russell Westbrook doesn't win a championship, which he's not going to because he's selfish and just a video game of a player, he's living a better life than you'll ever live. The women that he's had sex with, the cars that he drives, the house that he has, the athletic skills and things he'll get to do in his lifetime is better than you'll ever even dream of in your best dream. So to that 76ers fan that was dumping popcorn all over Russell Westbrook, he's probably the same type of 76ers fan who goes, oh, Philadelphia gets such a bad rap. We're not dirtbags. And then you would call out that guy for the city being dirtbags. And they go, oh, no, this is us being the city of brotherly love, man. Oh, God. Then you had Boston, this Cole kid, who literally looks like a socially awkward rich kid from the suburbs who, like, has everything bought for him. So pretty much Kyrie Irving played for the Celtics, and like they did okay in the playoffs, but they never got over the hump. So he's now on the Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant and James Harden, and he crushed the Celtics on Sunday. Oh, he killed them. And the Celtics logo is this Irish guy named Lucky. And in the middle of the court, they all went for high fives, all the Brooklyn Nets, and Kyrie Irving put his foot and just like stomped all over the head of Lucky. And all the Celtic fans began booing. And Kyrie Irving, damn well, that sociopath, knew exactly what he was doing. And then he goes to walk in the aisle. He goes to walk into the tunnel. And this guy named Cole, this 21-year-old little punk, who's as white as string cheese, throws a water bottle at Kyrie Irving. First of all, if you're that mad about sports, you're a loser. But second of all, think about it. If Kyrie Irving is that petty, where he's going to walk on a logo's head, if Kyrie Irving is that petty to literally not get along with anybody, what was the mindset of throwing a water bottle at Kyrie Irving? Like, that was going to end well. The same guy that we brought up all these examples of him not being likable, him having to sage and bring in smoke to every single NBA locker room, him not talking to his teammates. He's like the Aaron Rodgers of basketball. And you're going to tell me that fan thought it was a good idea to throw a water bottle at that type of person who's not going to forgive you and will press charges? It makes you go, maybe I don't have the money that kid has, but I'm smarter. Like, you just, what are you doing? And I tweeted out, because all these Celtic reporters were like, how dare Kyrie Irving walk all over our logo? And once again, the Celtics fans, the Celtics analysts, the Celtics talk radio, New York talk radio, everybody that's a part of the Knicks or the Celtics. The Knicks hated Trae Young taking over, and the Celtics hated Kyrie Irving for beating them. But if they were on their team doing that, they would be applauding them. So that dumb thing where the fans boo and the fans are spitting on Trae Young, the New York Knicks fans, or the Celtic fan throwing the water bottle at Kyrie, it's like, do you know how dumb you look? Because if they were on your team, like if Trae Young was on the Knicks doing that and an Atlanta Hawk fan spit on him, oh, you better believe the media would rip into it. It's just the hypocrisy of it. Oh, the hypocrisy. 856-49-HOPPY. 856-494-6773. Also going on in the NBA, the National Basketball Association on the hardwood court. Oh, the Utah Jazz, the team that literally needs to change their name, because the Utah Jazz were in New Orleans, so they switched over, and I don't think there's much jazz in Utah, but they keep going with that name. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies in a series 4-1, and it shows how underrated Donovan Mitchell is. If he was playing in any big city, he would be getting attention, because he's out the first game, and Ja Morant and his young 21-year-old self, cockiness, dunking on everybody, and they beat the Jazz, and Rudy Gobert has a bad game, Gobert, whatever his dumb name is. And then all of a sudden, you bring back Donovan Mitchell and they win 4 in a row. And I just love how, like, he's not getting any credit because he's in Utah. He's playing at Salt Lake City, the city that everybody wants to hang out in with the 2% beer for 10 bucks. And the Mormons all over the place hanging out trying to recruit you to their cult. But what I find funny is, like, you got the young player who is 21 years old, Ja Morant, trying to dunk on everybody. He's trying to shoot every ball. They weren't really supposed to be in the playoffs. They barely beat the Warriors. And then you got all these rude comments on Twitter like, oh, he sucks. I want to see you go on the hardwood court and do what he's doing. There's this out of control mindset, and maybe it's just being exposed more now because we have social media, but the crap talking that goes online where, oh, you could totally do it. No, you couldn't. If you could do that, you'd be in the NBA. It'd be weird. It would be very unique if the Utah Jazz won this year because they've never won a championship. They didn't win the 90s. John Stockton, and that creep known as Karl Malone, Google it. So literally, if Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, COVID boy, if they could, Google it, if they could somehow win the first championship in Salt Lake City, those boys could be heroes forever. They would just need to leave Salt Lake City to get laid. Although that girl that had that gangbang with the Phoenix Suns that went on the No Jumper podcast with Adam 22 and talked about it last summer, she's from Salt Lake City. So maybe some of the Utah Jazz, if they win it all, they can find people like her to hang out with. Also going on in the NBA, You got the Phoenix Suns against the Los Angeles Lakers. And this series proves why LeBron James will never be Michael Jordan. And no, I'm not trying to have a four-letter network sports debate, ESPN. I'm not trying to have a debate where, is Michael Jordan better than LeBron? Because I have nothing to talk about. Trust me, this is the top of my head. I'm good. But did you ever see LeBron? Did you ever see Kobe? Did you ever see Michael Jordan? Or did you ever see Kobe give up? I wasn't alive for Magic Johnson. I wasn't alive for Larry Bird, but I assume they didn't give up. Those third and fourth quarters in the last game, as I'm recording, the Phoenix Suns are up 3-2, and LeBron's just walking around, and his team's doing nothing. And it's like, bro, like, are you thinking about next year? Like, even if you don't win the series, it's admirable if you were to go up for 50 points. But there's just these days that you look at LeBron and you're like, I know he's an all-time great. I know I'm talking about somebody that I'm never going to meet, even though I want to manifest it. I know I'm talking about somebody who's better than I could even dream of. But like, there's moments that you're watching sports and you're just infuriated. Just walking around. Anthony Davis doesn't want to go into post. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play as center, even though when he's playing as center, they're doing amazing. But he probably doesn't like getting elbowed. He's very soft. He's not very tough. Here's the thing, though. They can do what they want, man. Utterly bizarre. Can you imagine you make millions and you just give up the last half of your job? Hey, can you imagine if you're a radio board op and you board op a morning show and from 6 to 8 a.m. you really bring it and then you feel like you're losing it so you just give up and not try? Can you imagine if you're flipping burgers at McDonald's, and I'm not comparing that to the NBA, but I am, and you just quit flipping the food 3 hours into the gig? It's so bizarre. Like, I'm not saying LeBron needs to win another ring this year to be an all-time great, but whenever he gives up and doesn't try and all of a sudden is just kind of wandering, you get 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists, which is a fine game. It's just kind of like, you're not Jordan, bro. You're not. That's all I got to say. And the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul. What a pretty boy. Oh, he's so good looking. God, if anybody did what Chris Paul did, that dirtiness, using the elbow, doing this, doing that. If any other player did that, let me grab my energy drink, even though I'm already hyper. Let me chug this energy drink. Oh, yeah. If any other player were to do what Chris Paul does, the dirtiness, they would be crucified. I love the CP3 complex. This guy can do whatever the hell he wants. And he goes, oh, no, that's not what I did. Like in a post-game interview, they'll be like, don't you think you were a little aggressive when you were going for the rebound and you elbowed LeBron? Nah, just being competitive. I didn't really see it that way. Oh, but don't you think you need to kind of calm down and not be, no, I'm good. We're just hanging out. But like if Kevin Durant, who's a little less likable, I guess because he's not in State Farm commercials, he can't get away with it. There's my speech impediment. Can you imagine if Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving were doing what Chris Paul did? Oh, they'd be crucified. But Chris Paul, oh, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And don't you dare accuse me. These next two series that I'm about to talk about. Oh, man, the Washington Wizards and the Philadelphia 76ers. You're telling me Joel Embiid's hurt? Whoa. Guy, man, all these centers now, it really makes you think about like Dwight Howard in his prime, even though he's good now, Shaq in his prime, Patrick Ewing in his prime, Hakeem Olajuwon in his prime, all these centers that played for 20 years. Yeah, people go, oh, they put up 20 points and all they did was do layups, but they were healthy the whole time. Got Joel Embiid getting hurt. You got Anthony Davis getting hurt. So it's not looking good for the 76ers that Joel Embiid's hurt. But Ben Simmons is doing great. And I love the Washington Wizards. They barely get into the playoffs. And this team had Russell Westbrook, who, oh my God, he got triple doubles this year? No way. When you're chucking up the ball a million times and you grab your own rebound and then you pass the ball and you shoot, you're telling me things can happen? I'm not saying Russell Westbrook is not going into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's not elite. But this guy will never do anything in the playoffs, ever. Oh, but he had 2012 when they went to the finals with Kevin Durant and James Harden and Serge Ibaka. Do you hear yourself? Everybody every year goes, this is Russell Westbrook's year. Blah, blah, blah. They're going to make a run with Bradley Beal. They don't do jack squat. Because Russell Westbrook is a superstar. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not an all-time great. I'm all over the place. We're just hanging out, having a party. Also, this is on my mind lately. All this hate on Trae Young, the Atlanta Hawks just going into New York and crushing them in that game one victory. You kind of already knew it was over in a way. He gets that miraculous layup, and they lose game two, and they lose, and then they win the next three. Everybody goes, oh, we need another competitor in the league who gives it his all. LeBron's not doing that. We miss Kobe. Rest in peace. Kevin Durant's kind of soft. Kyrie Irving's irritating. And then you have the person you're looking for, the solution, known as Trae Young. And everyone goes, oh, he's annoying. Oh, he's dirty. Oh, he's irritating. But if he was on your team, you would love it. But because there's no real Atlanta Hawks fans, everyone's kind of annoyed. I hope Trae Young goes on to win 9 rings because all the haters will literally run their mouth and then all of a sudden he beats you and you go, oh yeah, he's pretty good. You know what he does? He humbles any fan base. And finally, the Trailblazers and Nuggets. Denver Nuggets, whatever, who cares? Trailblazers are like a video game. Damian Lillard drops 55 points, has one of the best games ever, and he doesn't win. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you're the only real Hall of Famer on your team and everybody else can't really help you out? And then Clippers and Mavericks is bizarre, too. Doncic is great. Luka. Mm-hmm. On the Mavericks. He's fun to watch. He's like a little short Dirk Nowitzki. But this Los Angeles Clipper team is utterly bizarre to watch. First of all, you got Paul George, you got Kawhi Leonard on the Clippers, and you're like, how are you not dominating a game? Oh, that's right. You got Paul George, who literally is better at knocking up strippers and getting a ring that way than ever winning something in the playoffs. Whenever you need Paul George to be good, he's clunky. He's awkward. He did it on the Pacers, and he did it in Oklahoma City, and he did it in Los Angeles. Now they're down 3-2, and they could potentially, you know, win. Anything can happen. But every year, whenever it's time for Paul George to, you know, do something, whenever it's time for him to be great, all of a sudden you don't really hear from him. You're like, hey, Paul, where you at, buddy? We good? We good to meet up at dinner later? How's the wife? She doing good? She learning any new moves? You want to learn a juiciness? Just Google Paul George's dating life. All right. Okay. And Kawhi Leonard, like last night, he's in the corner. He just chucks up a three. I'm like, dude, the Clippers just not want to play basketball. Like, I get that I've just ran my mouth for, let's see how long officially, 23 minutes. And I get that I've never played basketball, so I can't really critique it. Oh, but I just did. But all these guys, it's so bizarre watching great players be clunky. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron occasionally, Russell Westbrook. And you're like, what are you missing? You know what I mean? You're like, hello? Are you there? My cat's looking around like the door's being knocked on. Oh, he gets the door. Meow. You look at these players and you're like, are you serious? You're in the NBA, and I get it's a job, so they probably view it like any other job. Mm-hmm. A little ungrateful. Some might say a little out of touch, but, you know, can't complain. But these players are in the league. They're in the association. Oh, they're doing wonderful. They're doing dandy. But whenever they need to be great, it's like they're like, oh, I make $100 million. I don't need to try. You're just like Kawhi Leonard. You want a ring with the Spurs. You want a ring with the Raptors. And here you're just chucking up shots. Huh? I mean, I don't know. Am I being hard? Am I being rough? Oh, yeah, I like being rough. 856-49-HOPPY. 856-494-6773. This next headline. Oh, this is beautiful. And we'll get to it right after this.
Hoppy, hoppy, hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour.
This following segment was brought to you by the Tampa Bay Hot Sauce Company. Oh, it's getting hot in here. So take off all your clothes. I can't play the thong because of licensing. If you go to TampaBayHotSauce.com, there has all the locations where you can purchase it in Florida. But if you're listening in a different city, don't freak out. Don't have a panic attack. You can order online there at TampaBayHotSauce.com. It's got a link to this nice podcast you're already listening to, so you probably don't need a link. But it's also got recipes to make some nice, hot, spicy food. But you got to make it happen, Captain. You can't keep listening to my podcast and not signing up for the best hot sauce ever. I think the word would be purchasing, not signing up. But for all the info, TampaBayHotSauce.com. That's Tampa Bay Hot Sauce on social media. And Ryan Hoppy Radio. Let us know what you think, baby.
Oh, Hoppy Hot Topic. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour. And the other stations are tuned in, too.
Oh, yeah. All right, enough of that. 856 49 Hoppy. It's 856-494-6773. Tweet at me at Ryan Hoppy Radio. You can email me if you're a traditional, if you're a baby boomer. Ryan Hoppy Radio at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I feel great. So, this headline. I got to play the whole laugh track sound effect for this. This is hilarious. All right, that was getting irritating. NFL players, and this is from Bro Bible, such as A.J. Brown, Darius Slay, and others voice support of Jay Cutler trying to get the bag and divorce from Kristen Cavallari. One more time. I'm laughing. Didn't mean to press that. I'm laughing because if Kristen Cavallari was trying to get Jake Culler's money, it'd be no big deal. But oh, the man trying to get money? And I'm not being sexist. I'm just saying people are kind of calling him a douchebag, but they were married. This is from Bro Bible. During his playing days, arguably the biggest criticism of former Chicago Bears quarterback Jake Culler was his seemingly indifferent personality. That's saying something. It was the worst. That he didn't play enough with fire in his belly. Wasn't enough of a leader. And if he quit on his team. But here's what happened. Since retiring, that side of color has seemed to flourish thanks to his role in his ex-wife's show, Very Cavallari. SB Nation called him a scene stealer. The Washington Post literally published an article. Jay Cutler is the best part of Very Cavallari. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what's going on. He's trying to get 50% of his wife's assets. Everybody's offended. Everybody's mad. Everybody is angry. He wants half of his wife's brand in divorce. Well, unless they signed a prenup, it doesn't sound like a bad idea to me. Kristen, and this is from Page Six, Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler's divorce has hit a roadblock. Block. The former NFL quarterback, 38, is said to be seeking half ownership of her company, Uncommon James, as the brand was launched during their marriage. Cavallari, 34. Meanwhile, is said to believe that she doesn't owe any part of Uncommon James to Cutler, alleging that she funded a business which sells jewelry, clothing, and home goods. Now, I'm no divorce attorney, but we've heard about, you know, when a man, you know, marries a gold digger, and it doesn't have to be a gold digger. I didn't think she's a gold digger. But what I'm saying is, whenever there's like a divorce, they go, it took half the assets. And 99.9% of the time, unless it's Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, the dude, you know, built everything. And he meets his wife at a party, and she takes half his things because it was a business partnership. That's what marriage is. I'm going to get married someday, but I'm saying it's a business partnership. The real smart ones get the prenup. So when a dude does it, oh, it's wonderful. Dandy. Or when a woman does it to the dude, that's what I meant, it's dandy. It's wonderful. Take half his things. Who cares? But Jay Cutler wanting something that happened during the marriage, during their split income that they combined together. Whoa, what a concept. And you know that Kristen Cavallari thought she was just going to get out of this divorce clearly and easily. She's like, we're done. And the lawyer's like, no, Jay wants half your things. And she's like, what? The man wants to do that? How dare they? Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, and you know Jay Cutler just waited until the end. You know, like they had everything signed or hanging out right across from each other at the main little desk during the lawyer's office, like in a TV show. And they're like, okay, so we're going to do this asset and this asset. Are we good? Oh, can I have half of your company? What? 856-49-HOPPY. 856-494-6773. Farrah Abraham calls Chrissy Teigen an unfit person in society amid her cyberbullying scandal after past tweet branded the teen mom former, I'm going to say the word actress because it's not real, a whore for releasing 2013 sex tape. Chrissy Teigen called teen mom actress a whore in a 2013 tweet that was part of a plethora of other offensive messages from the cookbook author. Chrissy Teigen, 35, has since apologized for her comment, including one tweet in 2011 where she told Courtney Stodden to commit suicide. Oh, no big deal. But if somebody would have said that to Chrissy Teigen, we'd be hanging out over here saying they need to be condemned. Shame. Shame. Oh, but Chrissy Teigen did it. Sweep it right under the rug. Pretend it ain't there. Pretend it doesn't exist. In new interview, Farrah Abraham urges Teigen to seek professional help and calls her an unfit person in society. That sex tape that Farrah Abraham made in 2013 was hilarious. Because at least the Ray J and Kim Kardashian sex tape, like, they were portraying it as a sex tape because it was one. Like, it wasn't, like, great. I mean, it was fun to watch. It was a real dandy time. But at the same time, it looked like something that was homemade. So when you watch the sex tape, I never watched it. You watched it and you went, oh, did they leak it? Because it looked like a homemade tape. But that Farrah Abraham backdoor teen mom tape that was released 8 years ago where she's banging James Dean. Who's like the household name of male porn actors. We were supposed to believe that it was accidentally leaked. She had nothing to do with it.
It's like
Oops, wrong button. Let me try that again. Take two. She had nothing to do with it. Even though in the tape, they perfectly had her in the doggy position. They perfectly had her on top. Oral sex was perfectly done. We've seen other sex tapes that have been leaked. where, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I got to say. That's all I can say. What I'm saying is we've seen sex tapes that are released that are awkward. A little bizarre. But the Farrah Abraham sex tape, oh, it was so perfectly made. We're going to believe that they just accidentally filmed it and accidentally sent it to Vivid Entertainment. Oh, man. Farrah Abraham, 2013 called. Like, I'm not saying that she shouldn't go around and shame Chrissy Teigen, but, oh, you're a real walk in the park. Oh, you're a real delight. Oh, man. But there is nothing funnier than that dummy Chrissy Teigen running her mouth the last 2 years. Donald Trump is a bully. Her running her mouth the last 2 years. Twitter makes me feel bad. I want to get off of Twitter for 4 days and return. I'm the authority in all things feminism. And then you have her making fun of other women 10 years ago. Then you have her being a bully. It's almost like she's a hypocrite. It's almost like Chrissy Teigen's not a good person. Food for thought. But you can get the food from Chrissy Teigen's cookbook and immediately go, oh, it's a waste of my time.
Hoppy, hoppy, hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour.
Oh, God. This following segment was brought to you by, oh, God, FitzHFitness.com. Let me tell you. I got to let you know. Devin Prasad is the best trainer ever, man. Oh, I had a great workout today. Me, him, and DJ Pez just hanging out at the park. Go to my social media, at Ryan Hoppy Radio and at fit_stage_fitness. That's his social media. See what he's about. Because I know when you hear, oh, you're working out with somebody at a park. Oh, what are you tossing the ball? No, it's like football workouts. Mm-hmm. He also can meet you at your favorite gym. And if you're not in the Tampa Bay area, you don't have to worry. Go to FitzHFitness.com. You can do virtual workouts. He will come up with food prep. He's also a sage. He's a spiritual guy. So he's somebody you can talk to if you're having mental health issues. Devin Prasad's legit. He's changed my life forever. He's taught me about the law of attraction. Here's the thing, though. You can't keep listening to my show. It's a common theme here. You're listening. Oh, should I get the Tampa Bay hot sauce? Should I do this? No. You got to make it happen, Captain. Life's too short. To make that happen, you go to FitzHFitness.com.
Hoppy, hoppy, hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour.
Never holds back, and he speaks his mind. Welcome back to Hoppy Hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
I'll be there for you. The show friends. I'll be there for you. My neighbor's walking right by my front door, so they probably think I'm mentally ill. I'll be there for you. I am mentally ill. I'm bipolar. I'll be there for you. You're probably wondering why I'm singing a really bad, tone-deaf, awkward version. Me being awkward? Who would have thought of the Friends theme song? Well, here's what's going on. Matthew Perry splits from his fiance, and we're also on a show where I can't play copyrighted music anymore. So we're just going to do the new version of this low-budget show where I just reenact the songs. I'm in there for you. Your job sucks.
Matthew Perry and girlfriend Molly Hurwitz have split.
Makes you wonder.
On Tuesday, the Friends star revealed in a statement to People magazine that he and his fiance had called off their engagement. quote,
that's gotta suck. The whole world thinks you're a druggie. The whole world is going, what the hell is going on with Matthew Perry? And then all of a sudden, you split from your fiance. But after this news clip, I got a juicy headline. Sounds like he might have been doing some extracurricular activity.
Sometimes things just don't work out,
yeah.
And this is one of them. I wish Molly the best. The 51-year-old actor started dating.
That's him either dumping her or cheating, which we'll get to it. I wish her the best.
The 29-year-old literary manager in 2018, and they got engaged.
Oh, she's half his age. Oh, what a surprise. No way. That relationship didn't work out, you're telling me? A washed up sitcom actor that's got millions of dollars with some issue with his speech, like me? You're telling me that relationship didn't work with a 29-year-old? No way! That didn't work out? Who would have saw that coming?
Engaged in November 2020. At the time, he told people, quote, I decided to get engaged. Luckily, I happened to be dating the greatest woman on the face of the planet.
Not anymore.
At this time. Matthew has received an outpouring of love and support from his.
Oh, thank God. Everyone's bowing down and hoping Chandler doesn't lose his OCD mind.
His friends, family recently.
It's a very loving, tight-knit group.
Yeah. What the hell was going on with my mouth? I went to the dentist.
Director behind HBO Max's Friends The Reunion, Ben Winston, recently spoke out against, quote, unkind comments about the actor and concerns for his health.
Everything's feeling wonderful. Where the hell do you think it is? Everything's doing great. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's dandy.
Specifically, his seemingly slurred speech.
Yeah.
Here's what he said about Matthew during a chat with the Hollywood Reporter's TV's Top 5 podcast.
Mm-hmm. He was great. I think, you know, people can sometimes just be a little bit unkind.
Yeah, it's called the media.
And I wish they weren't. He was great. I loved working with him. I think he's a brilliantly funny man. And I thought he had some great one-liners in the show.
Yeah, it's what he does.
And yeah, I felt just lucky to be in his presence and directing him on something like that.
What's he going to say? Oh, he's a druggie.
Honest, this will really make me cry, but this will be the last time that we're ever asked about the show as a group that we will do this. Like,
I don't believe that. It's like the rock bands. That was Courtney Cox. Oh, yeah. She's going, oh, we're never going to do this again. It's like Elton John and his farewell tours. I'm saying goodbye for the 9th time, and even when I'm laying in the ground, we'll have pre-recorded holograms. I'm never going away.
We're not going to do this again in 15 more years.
The Friends cast.
Yeah, you are. Mark the tape.
We'll always.
Money. Here comes the money. Cha-ching.
Be there for each other. But they say their new HBO Max special is the last time that they will reunite publicly. The long.
That's not true. 75 years from now, they'll be hanging up, rising above their grave like, time for the 9th reunion!
The awaited reunion dropped Thursday, and at the end of the special, the cast gets emotional, realizing,
oh, we're going to be dead soon. We're in the twilight of our career. I haven't watched it yet. I like watching Friends. I've seen like 4 seasons. It's fine. It's funny. But the special looks aggravating. Kind of like the show. The special looks irritating, kind of like the show. Like, you just go like, do I want to watch it? Oh, the 1990s, we're living in the past. Nothing original, woo! Like, I like Friends, but I like it because it's funny, they're acting. I don't want to watch them go, oh, no, it's a great time in life.
Saying that it's probably the last time they will all be together talking about the show for fans.
Mm.
But it won't be the last time they all hang out.
Oh, thank God. I was so worried. They're going to have a sleepover.
I'll tell you one thing. We are not waiting so long to have a dinner.
No, we're not.
We have nothing else going on, Matthew Perry. I'm going to court going to the dentist.
No, we will not wait that long to get together.
And they agreed that it was nice for a few days to be back on the old Warner Brothers soundstage.
Oh, man. You know, some of them were just like, oh, the time that I had a career. David Schwimmer's like, oh, my God, this is what success was like. Courtney Cox is like, I had Cougar Town on TV for 4 years and no one cared. Then the guy who played Joey, let me look up his name. Matthew LeBlanc is like, my show episodes was on 10 years on Showtime and no one really cares. They're all just walking around the set of Friends. Like, I miss these days of relevancy because there was really nothing to do besides watch TV and go to bed in the 1990s. If that show came out now, no one would care because you're going up against podcasts, TikTok, Pornhub.
Few days to be back on the old Warner Brothers soundstage, back in the apartment and coffee shop sets they called home for 10 seasons.
A new Central Perk!
It was going to be awesome to see these five people. What I did not take into account was being back on the sets and in this environment. And it's
Jennifer's almost crying. You've had the best career, relax. And you never got married.
Pretty cool.
We're touching each other.
Best friends who just the chemistry, the whole thing. It was life changing and it
made us money.
Ever will be, not just for us, but for people who watch it.
And all that echoes what the cast told ET about their tight bond.
I don't care. Oh, their tight bond feels good. Make sure you get some lube. But here's the funny part. This is the part that's hilarious about this Matthew Perry breakup. So you remember that girl last month on TikTok? Kate Harrelson? The girl on TikTok that like exposed Matthew Perry for being on that elitist dating app? Well, the woman who exposed Matthew Perry's flirty video from that elitist dating app, Raya, insists she had nothing to do with his split from Matthew Perry's fiance Molly Hurwitz. As fans speculate, the Friends actor is now dating his assistant. That is karma, if I've ever heard about it. No, not Matthew Perry banging somebody he's paying on the side. What I'm saying is the karma is this TikToker, this 22-year-old is like, oh my God, I'm going to make it about me on TikTok. Then 3 weeks later, they're like, you're a homewrecker. And I'm not saying she is or not. It's consensual, whatever the hell happened there. But I'm just saying it's funny. She posts the FaceTime conversation with him. She's 20 years old. He's 50. He's like literally more than twice her age. And then she's getting accused of ruining a relationship. Their chat took place in May 2020, which is when he was on a split with Hurwitz. It's funny. That's what happens when you run your big fat mouth. Actually, she's not fat. That's what happens when you run your big, skinny, vegan mouth. He's being a creep on a dating app. And then when he breaks up with his significant other, they're like, oh, was that you? No, I had nothing to do with it. All the times I came over and I would buy condoms from Walgreens. Oh, it was a coincidence. And then I'd go to Matthew Perry's mansion. Oh, yeah, I totally didn't ruin a relationship. Just improved it.
Hoppy, hoppy, hoppy.
By ending it.
This is Hoppy Hour.
I improved the relationship by ending it, getting it out of there. Oh, yeah. This following segment is brought to you by WestchasePrinting.com, the best printing company in all the Bay Area. Posters, yard signs, business cards, whatever the hell you need. Banners for your TV show, like I have for Hoppy TV on No Filter Network and NoFilter.net. Listen, relax. If you go to WestchasePrinting.com, he's going to hook you up. DJ Tone Tampa on Instagram. Actually, me saying he's going to hook you up is an understatement. It ain't saying enough. When you get that invoice, oh, it's going to be magical. It's going to be a moment of legends. He's already going to hook you up. If you would have gone to WestchasePrinting.com and you hadn't heard this live read on Hoppy Hour, But because you're listening at this moment and you're going to go to westchaseprinting.com, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a deal. The best deal of all time. And you're going to feel amazing. Oh, you're going to feel great. For all of that, westchaseprinting.com.
Hoppy, hoppy, hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour.
Whoa! Hoppy Hot Topic.
Hoppy's mind is like a circus, and you're all invited.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Hoppy Hour. His Midwest accent and rants are like endorphins for your workout. You are listening to Hoppy Hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Oh, God, we have to talk about Logan Paul.
Shut up!
I mean, I don't have a program director here, but I want to.
You hear that Floyd Mayweather wants to get in the ring with you. Your first reaction is,
let's go. Sign me up.
Oh, jeez.
Where's the dotted line? Like, can this happen tomorrow?
How does it feel knowing that you are the one to pull Mayweather out of retirement?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I did the impossible already.
Oh, jeez.
Now I'm just going to do it again Sunday.
Got it.
Easy.
Logan Paul is gearing up for his big fight against Floyd Mayweather on Sunday.
Well, I came out of retirement just to get re-retired. I think
so cheesy. This is going to be two things, two scenarios. Either he wins, Logan Paul does, and he's the hero forever, or Floyd Mayweather beats his ass, and then Logan Paul goes, oh, it was rigged. And then he starts to fight people that aren't boxers.
I think you bit off more than you can chew, Floyd.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, the YouTube star hit up the historic Fifth Street Gym in Miami.
What? Why is it rewinding? Let's go back. 856-49, help me.
You hear that Floyd
Mayday, 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 Mayday. The world's ending. Here we go.
Wednesday, the YouTube star hit up the historic Fifth Street Gym in Miami ahead of his upcoming pay-per-view boxing match airing on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
The 26-year-old YouTube star hit the punching bag with and without his shirt on, punched.
Oh, yeah, you got your shirt off, Logan. Oh, you're so cool, bruh.
The air, jumped rope, and showed off some moves in the ring.
Oh, yeah. You. Shadow boxing. Whoa. Cool. There you are. Punching a bag. There you are, shadow boxing. But is that Floyd Mayweather? I'm just saying, I would watch out for fighting Floyd Mayweather. I mean, he's not a good person.
And he sweat a lot.
Energy. Yeah, Logan Paul was sweating during a boxing workout. Whoa, breaking news.
Energy is great. Health, mental health, physical health is great.
Feels yeah. When I think of a mentally healthy person, I think of the Paul brothers.
Strong, fat.
They're not overcompensating for anything.
Sharp, like, yeah, man, I have no complaints. This is the best shape I've been in my life.
Got it.
Longest fight I've ever fought, you know?
So, got it.
Have to be ready. And you just got to put respect where respect is due, man. But
I don't care anymore. I'll be sleeping because I get up at 4:30 a.m. on Sundays. I don't really get to watch anything on Saturday nights. So, we got some Kardashian news. God, we have so much Kardashian news. Before we get to it, this next headline is biggest clickbait from Inside Edition.
As more and more of us happily ditch the masks, we're finding out there's a downside.
What?
Colds are back.
Oh, no. Something that was around since the beginning of the universe is back. It's not COVID. Shut up.
All over social media, people are reporting an explosion of sore throats and the common cold.
Everybody's going, oh, my God, I have a sore throat. I have the sniffles. I think I have COVID. No, if you feel like a truck hit you, you have COVID.
Year of being sniffle free.
Yeah.
Masks, it turns out, not only protected us from COVID, but all kinds of other germs as well. During the last flu season, cases of the flu plummeted to just 2,000. Now compare.
What a surprise. During COVID, I'm not going down to conspiracy theory, Ellie, but I kind of am. all of a sudden, the flu, just 2,000 cases. Yeah. The previous 2019 years on this planet, we had the flu. I mean, I wasn't around in 1918, so I don't know what the numbers of the flu were during 1918, during that pandemic. But I'm just saying it's a little coincidental that when COVID comes around, which I am not saying COVID's not real, because I had COVID. It's it was like the worst hangover mixed with muscle aches and just awful. Oh, and erectile dysfunction, I know good. But what I'm saying to you is all of a sudden you only have 2,000 flu cases from the CDC, the same CDC that has gotten everything correct and incorrect and incorrect. They're just guessing along with that hack Dr. Fauci. Oh, yeah. There's no flu anymore. It just went away. I don't know.
Or that too.
I lost a train of thought there. I was trying to come up with something. It's like the XFL. Good reference.
2019 and the flu season before, when 38 million people in the USA suffered from the flu.
Oh yeah, you go from 38 million to 2,000, whatever, same thing. It's totally legitimate. I'm going to totally believe the CDC. You go from 38 million the previous year to 20 to 2,000. I'm going to say 20. It's essentially it. Something's a little off there. Again, 38 million, 2,000. Oh, no coincidence. We're going to believe. We're going to be sheep. We're going to believe everything the CDC says. Everything Fauci says, and everything dementia boy Joe Biden says. I'm going to even say that about Trump. All these losers that know nothing. They have as much time as us on this planet. Oh, but they're rich and they got elected to lead over us. A goody goody gumdrops. And I'm going to say this. I only got my first of second shots, Moderna, because my mom every day would text me, oh, can you get the shot? No. Can you get the shot? No. Can you get the shot? No. But then I'm like, fine, I'll do it for my mom. I'll do it for my girlfriend's mom as well. But what got really irritating, what really was the icing on the cake for me getting the Moderna shot, was all the coworkers going against HIPAA. Because I'm Ryan Hobby, they can, did you get the shot? 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 Shut up. Leave me alone.
As we start to work together, play together, pray together, as we start to share space and get...
Let's all pray together. This headline is, my life's too short. I need to pray that I don't talk about it, which I won't. Demi Lovato promotes diet soda after sugar-free Froyo meltdown. So she can go into that sugar shop and babble all she wants. Oh, yeah, they're evil for having diet food. It triggered me. I'm Demi Lovato. I'm a sociopath. Oh, but then she talks about diet soda. Totally fine. She promoted a Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar while on the red carpet. Yeah, there's no coincidence there. At the iHeart Radio Music Awards, where none of the hosts probably called her out about it because all of iHeart Radio has to kiss her ass because they play their music on their top 40 stations. But I ain't complaining. What I'm saying to you is you have Demi Lovato ruining that business last month, and everyone, you know, accepted it. And she comes out as non-binary, which is fine. I'm glad she had the guts to do it. Whatever you want to do in this lifetime, whatever you want to identify as, whatever you want to bang, as long as it's not a kid or a pet, I don't care because I'm heterosexual. I'm not saying like I'm better than you. I'm just saying I'm happy with who I am. I want you to be happy with who you are in this lifetime. But then all of a sudden, she came out as non-binary, and then we all forgot that she was just like making it all about her. Oh, DMX overdosed. It could have been me. But you didn't do heroin. Shut up. God. Oh, but Demi Lovato. She promotes a diet soda. We're all going to bow down to her greatness. This next headline, my life's too short to play. Lindsay Lohan may have helped launch the Kardashians' career. Oh, you know, that's bothering her immensely. All the Kardashians are like, we're just less of a train wreck. People watched us get banged. You know, that's got to bother Lindsay Lohan. She's like, I didn't really get any residuals from it. Like Ryan Seacrest discovering the Kardashians, he's making money off of it. But Lindsay Lohan, you know she's a little jealous. His next headline, my life's too short to play. Kris Jenner awkwardly urges Courtney and Scott Disick to get back together. Ratings, ratings, ratings. What a great mother Kris Kardashian is.
It's like a...
Wrong button. Take two. What a wonderful mother Kris Kardashian is. You got Kourtney Kardashian hanging out with Travis Barker. And she never has ever been happier. But, oh, I need you to be with Scott for the ratings. And Scott's calling me up every single day. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not in that family. I feel like crap. Khloe Kardashian has had it with the baby mama drama and is threatening to take legal action against the woman claiming Tristan Thompson is the father of her child. But he probably is the father of the child because that dude does not know how to pull out. But unlike Tristan Thompson, I know when to pull out. Like by ending this show because I'm running out of things to talk about. Bye!
Hoppy, 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 this is Hoppy Hour.
I can't leave without letting you know this is brought to you by RichKBarber.com. Rich Keeley, Master Barbershop. The best barber. Oh, yeah. He makes me look sexy. I got that haircut today. God damn, it looked good. I had sex with myself when I got home. Like, immediately, I got home.
Hoppy Hour is now over.
Bye.
Hoppy Hour is now over.
Bye.
Hoppy Hour is now over.
Mm-hmm.
Money.